is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
What did Adam do when he sinned against God? What was the first thing? He had been in God's presence so many times, but for the first time he hid. When we have something to hide, check your heart, because sin is surely not absent. When you have to manipulate, when you throw out words carelessly for some reason, though they're true words, be very careful, because sin is often lurking in our hearts. Oh, by the way, we don't want to find ourselves resisting the Lord. We're not to fear men, because everything's going to be revealed. And if we do hide things, we could find ourselves opposing God.
Sin loves the darkness. And when we try to hide certain things from other believers or isolate from church, 9 out of 10 times, it's because we're living in sin. Today, Pastor Troy will be encouraging us to bring everything to the light and confess our sins one to another and receive prayer so we may be healed. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
There's absolutely nothing that you should have to hide. Nothing. Did you know that? The truth will set you free. You don't have to hide. Lying is an expression of fear. Whenever you lie, and I know, let's think about people who are in gangs or in criminal activity, and they might run around, no fear, I have an attitude. What they mean is, I'm not going to let anyone intimidate me, is what they're saying. But they fear, they're lying all the time. Because they fear the consequences, they fear whether they will get what they want without doing what they feel like they need to do. It's a fear. They won't get something. It's a fear. We lie to avoid consequences that are due us, and so we lie. And sometimes we lie to keep our reputation, which will ultimately build your reputation as a liar, because once it all comes down, it's going to be hard for anyone to trust you again. It's the thing about trust. It's so hard to build, and it's so easy to destroy. It takes a long time to recover from destroying someone's trust. You know, you see relationships where one spouse cheats on another, does something, and then they wonder when they come and they try to repent and follow the Lord, why that spouse doesn't just, hey, trust me. Well, it doesn't work that way. I forgive you. But I'm not just all of a sudden going to trust you. Like, why are you behind closed doors for so long? How come you were gone so long? Out of character. Why is there a strange perfume or cologne on you? Those kinds of things. There is a skepticism. You've violated. You've been known to do that. And so trust has to be built. And when you violate someone's trust, you just got to understand that there is a time that people need. And you have to earn trust again. But it shouldn't be a big deal. Don't get mad about it. If you're really repentant, you're going to earn their trust because you're going to be honest. Right? So no reason to get mad. You're going to be honest. The only reason you might get mad is because you want them to start trusting you again so you don't have to have them watching you again so you can kind of be free again. And you get upset that they don't trust you now. Trust me now. But it takes a long time. Don't violate people's trust, because it eventually gets found out and it makes it very hard for them to trust you again. So, lying is an expression of fear. Speaking of kids who try to stay cool, a 1999 study by psychologist Robert Feldman at the University of Massachusetts showed that The most popular kids were also the most effective liars. Very interesting, I thought, that those who would be in the cool group are also pretty good at lying. They're good at keeping up the facade. Our goal should not be to be popular. If you want to do that, you are going to have to lie. You're going to have to fit in. But our goal should be to follow Jesus. And if we would just follow the Lord, and if we would just allow God to do whatever He wants to do in our life, whatever He wants to give us, not us trying to grab it, but just walking in the ways of God, allowing Him to give to us, we wouldn't have anything to lie about. There'd be nothing to be ashamed about. We wouldn't have to strive and fight and deceive and manipulate. We wouldn't have to do any of that. There'd be nothing to hide. We could walk open before the Lord, and you'd have nothing to be ashamed of, no matter what God had for you. Nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus will have set you free. See, He has a calling. He has a calling in our life. It's a calling to follow Him and to serve Him for His honor and for His glory. And when we're deceiving and we're earning the lack of trust, we're deceiving others, we almost stifle what we could have done for the Lord because we lose the trust of others, we lose the love of others, we lose the fact that we are available for the Lord because we don't seem like it. We close ourselves off. We get mad at everybody. But God has a calling and He leads us. And if we follow Him, we have nothing to hide and nothing to be ashamed of. It doesn't matter if He's called you to be a custodian in a school. You can minister for God's glory. It doesn't matter if He's called you to just work and have a military career and then retire. God can use you for His glory. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as we receive it from the Lord and we honor Him with it and we are all in serving Him. And no one can judge you for what God has given you to do. It doesn't have to be some great thing. In fact, for most, it's not what we would visualize as some great thing. It's very simple. It's just being a vessel for God's glory, being honest. No matter what we do. Romans 14:4, who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. When we're on the path of sin, when we're on a wrong path, it's often revealed by the need to hide something, to lie, to deceive. Now, I just want you guys to really take that in. What did Adam do when he sinned against God? What was the first thing? He had been in God's presence so many times, but for the first time, he hid. When we have something to hide, check your heart, because sin is surely not absent. When you have to manipulate, when you throw out words carelessly for some reason, though they're true words, be very careful, because sin is often lurking in our hearts. Oh, by the way, we don't want to find ourselves resisting the Lord. We're not to fear men because everything's going to be revealed. And if we do hide things, we could find ourselves opposing God. But Jesus said to them, not only it is as you said, but He says, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. He is unmistakably saying, in case you didn't get it, with my, it is as you say, what did I say? I'm the Son of God. You're going to see me coming on the clouds with power and great glory. He's saying, you know, the Messiah, the great God that's going to come on the clouds with great glory, as said in Daniel chapter 7, it's me. You're going to see me. At this, the high priest tears his clothes and cries blasphemy. This was a big deal because the tearing of one's clothes was a sign of deep grieving. That's when they would tear their clothes. Either deep grieving or something catastrophic had happened. It was just this cry of deep despair or deep emotion. The high priest was forbidden from showing that kind of emotion. He was forbidden, except in one single case, and that was blasphemy against God Almighty. And so when the high priest does this, he is saying, this is that kind of statement. This is that kind of crime right here. When he tears his his clothing, he's saying, either I'm worthy of death now by exploding in this temperament, or he's worthy of death. That's what he's saying. And he's confident enough at this point to tear his clothes. You guys heard what he's saying. What do you say? What do you think? And they agree. They said he is deserving of death. In verse 67, this is what happens. Then they spat in his face and beat him. And Jesus never did anything to them like this. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? They would smack him and say, who was it? If you're such a prophet, tell us then, who was it that just hit you? Prove you're the Christ, is what they're saying. Prove it to us. You said you're the Messiah. Prove it. Well, you know what? He already had. He had been proving it. The life that he lived proved it. Where he was born, which he has no control over, proved it. There were things he had no control over. God does. But as a baby, as a person walking the earth, you have no control over where you're born, right? So there were things that he couldn't control from the human perspective that he fulfilled. There were things that he did which fulfilled the scriptures, all of the miracles, all the things that they called him, all the places that he lived and where he ministered to. All of these things proved it. His miracles, if nothing else, should have proved it. But they didn't care about proof. They had enough. Do you remember when John was in prison? And it wasn't looking too good for John the Baptist. He sends some of his disciples, because he's concerned too, like, man, it's not looking good for me. And in just a little lapse of wondering, he sends his disciples, ask him if he is the one, or is there another we should be looking for? And he sends his disciples, and the disciples go and ask Jesus. And Jesus answered them, and he said, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. He didn't say, go tell him what I said. I said I'm the one. He said, no, go tell John the things that you're seeing and that you're hearing. I don't even have to be my own witness. Look at what's going on. Look at the signs. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What do these guys do? Prove it. And they lash out in anger. They get angry at Jesus. They get angry at him. Because they do not want him. They don't want him. Not because of what he's done. Those were good things. Maybe they even benefited some of their friends or some that they knew. Maybe. So it wasn't necessarily because of what he had done. And it wasn't because of who he is. He was very kind and he's a great guy. Very likable. It was because of what he represented. He represented they were wrong. That their life was wrong in sin. Because they thought they were right. And they didn't want the accountability. And so they lash out. You know, lashing out. Let me talk to those of you who may lash out at your children or lash out at your spouse in anger. Lashing out is a sign that we are wrong. There's a wrong somewhere in us. When we lash out, there's wrong in us. Yeah, they may have wrong too. But there's wrong in us. That's why we lash out. One, either we didn't deal with something earlier, we let it fester, it's been in our heart for a time, and then we explode. That's wrong. Or life, real life, interrupts our wanting to be entertained. So we're sitting watching TV, or we're doing something that we want to do. I want to do this. Stop it, kids. Stop it. Would you guys just stop? And we lash out, and we're the one who's wrong. I know about that one. I want to focus on certain things. And you know, when you have children or a spouse or anyone in your life, really, they're in your life and you want to just, I want to just do what I want to do. And if you don't have the right heart and if you don't have the right frame of mind and if you're putting your own things above people, then there's a tendency to lash out in anger for selfish reasons. You're in the wrong. Or it could just be a wrong attitude. There are many reasons that we lash out, all of them wrong. With the exception of maybe fear that, you know, your child runs out, almost gets hit, then there are those times where they, what are you doing? You got to get your bearing because, you know, that height of emotion. Even that is the wrong kind of reaction, but I don't know how to overcome that one because it's just kind of coming out of you. But it's with love, right? It's a love. But if you extend it and then you're throwing them around, then it has gone from saving the child to your anger. You have made me afraid, and I'm going to make you afraid now. I mean, imagine God if he had done that to us. I saved you. What are you doing? And throw us because my son had to die. Why don't you respond? But he doesn't do that. So we do have to watch our tempers, because when we lash out, it's a sign there's something wrong in our heart. It's us. They had seen and heard enough to believe, but they just didn't want to believe. So to try to justify themselves, they pour out their frustrations on Jesus, who is the object of their conviction. I feel convicted because of you, and so I'm going to get angry at you. Instead of dealing with the truth, they try to defame the witness. You know, there's a tactic, if you've ever read like a logic book or something, there's a tactic called tu quoque, and that's a defense. Tu quoque is this. Let's say, you know, you have a habit of leaving the refrigerator open, or, you know, there's something that someone points to you that, you know, you need to change this. You have this kind of an attitude. You know, you seem to be really sarcastic. And then someone says that to you, it stands out. Well, you're, that's a tu quoque, like almost like en garde. Well, look at you. It's a defense, but it causes us to avoid the reality of the statement. Because the truth is, yes, I do. And I need to deal with it. Maybe that person does have a wrong too, but it doesn't justify mine. I still need to deal with it. So just in case you recognize it in yourself, it's a very, 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 very common flaw in our reasoning to, okay, next time you do that, stop and reverse and go, okay, what was said about me? Is it true? It's true. And deal with it instead of quickly deflecting, so that we can actually begin to grow and be challenged. Anyway, these are examples of those who let fear direct them. To overcome, we must direct our fears. There's still going to be fear, but fear needs to be directed. My dad, I remember, he used to say, because I would be afraid of the dark or something, and so I'd get up and go in and hassle my parents, you know, like, I'm afraid. And so my dad would put me in the bed, and he would tell me, you better be more afraid of me than of the dark. Now, I don't recommend that. That's not the way, that was the before saved father. So if you've been saying that, that's probably the inappropriate way to handle that. But it redirected my fear. I was still afraid of the dark, but I was more afraid of my dad, so I just sat in there going, but you know what it did for me? I didn't have my dad to go to, and so I started crying out to the Lord. And as a little kid, I actually cried out to the Lord a lot. I thought I was going to die one time because my stomach was growling. I said, I'm going to die, you know, because I was thinking in my mind, and I took some science, you know, you get enough to be dangerous, and the stomach acids are going to eat through my skin and eat me. So it's going to eat something. So I think, I'm going to die. And so I snuck downstairs, you know, and it's like, there's always a stair that creaks, and ring, you better get in bed, you know, like, ring, 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 ring. You're trying to get down there. I stole a little piece of bread, and it was our family's, but I took a piece of bread, and I went upstairs, and I ate a little bit of it, like half of it, because I wanted to save the other half, and I put it in a Ziploc bag. I don't have it anymore, but I had it for years, and it was a thank offering to the Lord. And I thank the Lord that I didn't die. Had a little hypochondria as a kid. But fear needs to be redirected. And that's the right direction, by the way, to fear the Lord. Scripture says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not necessarily the, I'm scared of you. Although if you're in sin, you should. You should go, you know what? God could judge me. But the healthier fear, the more mature fear is, I honor you. I respect you. I don't want to dishonor you or disrespect you. And so I won't lie. So I will trust whatever you give me by honest means, then I'm going to accept that. Whatever the calling, whatever the position, Lord, I will do it cheerfully and I will serve you. The way to overcome fear is to put yourself in the Lord's hands completely. If I die as a result, then I die. But it will be the Lord's will. If I don't get this thing that I want, then I don't get it. God hasn't given it to me. Because if He wanted to give it to me, He would give it to me. Without my manipulation and cheating and lying. See, that's putting yourself in the Lord's hands. In Acts, Gamaliel, who was a Jewish rabbi, does a great thing. I mean, no wonder he was a great rabbi for the Jews. Because whenever this movement, the church was growing, Gamaliel stood up and said, hey guys, to the religious leaders, look, we've had guys in the past that come up and when the leader died or when something happened, it all dissipated. It all went away and nothing came of it. So he says, if this isn't from the Lord, the same thing will happen. Just leave it alone. But if it is of the Lord, we may find ourselves fighting God. It was a pretty good statement. Pretty wise. I don't know where he ultimately stood. Maybe he thought saying that, that was wise for sure, but maybe he thought it would just fizzle out. But it's true. We need to seek and trust the Lord because those things that are of Him will happen. They'll be given to us. Fear caused Abraham to take matters into his own hands so that he took Hagar to himself, and we still struggle with the problem here today with the radical Islam because he was afraid maybe the promise wouldn't happen. But the fear of God causes a Joshua to bring the nation of Israel into the land of promise. The fear of God causes a Gideon to stand and witness the defeat of 185,000 with only 300. And it causes an impulsive Peter to wait. That got to be one of the hardest things for Peter. But to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, at which point thousands would come to faith at his first speech. So don't be passive. Take a stand. Be sure the Lord is in it. So don't be like quick to jump into it either. But don't be passive. Don't lie, because lying is a sign. When you're hiding something, manipulating, saying something just so, is a sign that sin is surely not absent. And don't lose your temper trying to defend yourself. God is your defender. You just do what's right. Trust in the Lord. It's that simple. K-N-O-W. No fear, so that you can have no fear about the wrong things or of men and have the right fear of God.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is always available in the iTunes store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again same time, same place, as we continue to study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in